Brevet, how are you? Ready for our very last Business in Focus class? We're actually ending this cycle in a very nice way, right? Because in our previous dialogue, we had some excellent news. Our dear colleague, David Smith, who has been with us since the very beginning of the course, was finally promoted. And it's actually really nice to end our classes with this very positive vibe, right? Well, I know you're excited for the end of the course, so let's take a closer look at the sentences from our last dialogue, shall we? We begin there with number one. I wanted to talk to you about what we discussed in our last meeting. Remember that teacher Louise talked to you a little bit about the pronunciation of the word to? Well, this is a very good sentence to practice that. I wanted to talk to you. So normally when we say the word to in the middle of a sentence, it's not a very strong to, right? It's more ch. So I wanted to talk to you about what we discussed. All right? So ch. I wanted to talk to you. All right? I wanted to discuss the agenda of our last meeting. Here you have, once again, a good opportunity to practice the pronunciation of the word to, right? So I wanted to discuss. And also the pronunciation of the word our, right? Which, when in the middle of a sentence, we're just going to say our, right? So I wanted to discuss the agenda of our last meeting. Okay, let's go through what we discussed last time we met. Here we have, once again, a very interesting phrasal verb. The phrasal verb go through, which means to examine, to analyze, right? So let's go through what we discussed. Let's talk about what we discussed, right? Also, I want you to pay attention to the pronunciation of the past form of the verb meet, right? We have meet in the present, and we have met in the simple past and in the past participle, right? Have met. So meet the present, met the past. Meet, met. So last time we met. We discussed last time we met. Let's go through what we discussed last time we met. Okay? We need to review the main topics of our last meeting. Here we have the chance to practice the other pronunciation of the word to that teacher Louise talked to you about, right? Which is something like do, right? We need to review the main topics of our last meeting, right? So just as a reminder, we normally pronounce the word to in the middle of a sentence as ch, ch, or as r, r. So I wanted to discuss, or r. We need to review the main topics. Okay, let's move on. Do you have any news for me? Let's take the chance here to remember for the last time that we normally say do you have any news for me? And also the very special pronunciation of the word news, right? So it's a long oo sound. News. Do you have any news for me? All right? And also, let's remember that the word news is considered uncountable. Therefore, it's always singular. That's why we say, do you have any news? Okay? Because news is uncountable and therefore it's singular. So, any news. All right? Do you have anything new to tell me? No secrets there. Is there anything new I should know about? Here, once again, we're ending this sentence with a preposition, right? So, know about. Is there anything new I should know about? We're ending the sentence with the word about, which is a preposition, which in the English language is perfectly fine, right? So it's okay to end a sentence in the preposition. All right? Do we have anything new to discuss? Do we have anything new to discuss? No secrets there. So let's move forward. I talked to the people in charge of personnel and payroll. I talked to the people in charge of personnel and payroll. Let's take this last chance here to talk about the pronunciation of the word talked. Okay, even though it's simple past, as you know, the simple past has three different kinds of pronunciation. The one we have here for the word talked is a sound of a T, right? So talked, 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 talked to the people, talked to the people, talk to the people in charge of personnel and payroll, right? And let's also remember that the pronunciation of the word personnel is different from the pronunciation of the word personal, right? So personnel and personal, personnel and personal, okay? I sent a message to the human resources manager. I sent a message to the human resources manager. No secrets there. I spoke to our colleagues in the legal department. I spoke to our colleagues in the legal department. Once again, no secrets. I got in touch with the people from IT. I got in touch with the people from IT. Let's take the chance here now to remember, once again, the most common departments in a company, right? In our examples here, we already have the human resources department, which is the HR, right? We have the legal department, and we have the IT department, that is the information technology department, the IT, right? Also very common in the companies is the marketing department, as well as the sales department, the logistics department, the finance or financial department, the R&D department, which is the research and development department, right? Also the QC or QA department, which is the quality control or quality assessment department. We also have the PR department, the public relations department. We also have the production department. And last but not least, the operations department. So these are the most common departments that a company has, right? The human resources, HR, legal, IT, information technology, marketing, sales, logistics, finance or financial, R&D, research and development, QC or QA, quality control or quality assessment, PR, public relations, production and operations, right? So these are the most common departments in a company. If your company doesn't have all of them, it certainly has at least some, right? Well, let's move forward. The increase in your salary has been approved. The increase in your salary has been approved. Great news, but no secrets here, right? Let's move on. You are cleared for a raise. You're cleared for a raise. Here we have, once again, the word clear, which we have already seen in our previous classes in more detail, right? Here we have it as a synonym of approve, right? So you were cleared for a raise, you were approved, they approved your raise. And let's take the chance here to, once again, emphasize the pronunciation of the past form of the verb clear, which is cleared, 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 with a D sound in the end, right? So cleared, cleared, cleared. You're cleared for a raise. You're cleared for a raise. You're cleared for a raise, okay? Your request for a raise has been approved. Your request for a raise has been approved. No secrets there. The raise you requested has been greenlit. The raise you requested has been greenlit. Here we have one example of that last type of pronunciation of the regular verbs in the simple past, which is the ED sound. So requested, 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 right? The raise you requested has been greenlit. the reason requested has been greenlit. Okay? And here we have a very interesting verb that we've already seen before, which is the verb greenlit, which means authorized, right? So when you give a person the green light, you authorize something, right? And here we have the participle version of the verb, which is greenlit, and which gives us a great opportunity to practice one more time the difference in terms of pronunciation of the double E and the letter I, right? So as you probably still remember, when we have double E, it's a long E sound. And when we have the letter I, it's more of a sound. So greenlit, greenlit, greenlit. Okay, so green, long E sound in the beginning, and then lit, 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 a more closed sound, lit, lit, right? Greenlit, greenlit, greenlit. Your request has been greenlit. The reason requested has been greenlit. Okay, moving on. I'll forward you the details later. Let's take the chance here to once again practice the pronunciation of I'll, the contraction of I will. So I'll, and also the pronunciation of the word forward, which has that very typical R sound, right? So I'll forward you the details later. Okay? I'll send you a message with the details. No secrets there. Let's just remember that when we have a word, a verb usually, that ends in D, and my next word is the word you, I can pronounce this letter D like J, J. So I'll send you a message. The same thing happens with our previous sentence there. I'll send you a message with the details. Okay, so J, J, J. All right? You receive the details later. No secrets there. I'll email you the details. Here, let's take the chance to remember that the word email in English doesn't have a hyphen, right? So in Portuguese, we have the hyphen e hyphen mail, but in English, it's written all together. So email all together, right? And also, let's remember that email can be either a noun, as in I'll send you an email later, or a verb, right? As in, I'll email you later. Okay, so in our case here, in our sentence here, I'll email you the details. I'm using the word email as a verb, right? I'll email you the details. And let's take a chance here to remember that the verb email is a regular verb. So we have email in the present and emailed in the past. Okay, so emailed. I'll email you the details, or I emailed you the details. Okay, moving on. Thank you so much for your support. We've already talked about the word support here in our previous classes. But there is one more department that is actually very common in the companies that involves the word support, which is the customer or client support or service, right? So the customer service or the customer support or the client support or the client service, which is the department that helps the clients, that helps the customers, that gives them assistance, right? So one of the main uses of the word support is as a synonym of help, of assistance. All right? Thanks a lot for your help. No secrets there. I'm very grateful for your support. No issues there. Thanks. Your support has been crucial. Let's take the last chance here to practice the pronunciation of the word crucial. 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 Has been crucial. Your support has been crucial. Thanks. Your support has been crucial. All right, moving forward. I'm always ready to back people I believe in. We've already talked briefly about the use of the word back as a verb, right? Well, let's talk a little more about the uses of the verb to back. We usually use the verb back to indicate some kind of support, right? And usually followed by the preposition up, back up, right? The first use we have for this kind of construction is the one we have here in our sentence. I'm always ready to back people I believe in. What does that mean? It means that I'm always ready to provide moral support to the people I believe in, right? So if I say, I really need you to back me up during the meeting, what I'm asking the person is to give me moral support during the meeting, right? But also, I can use the verb back to talk about providing some other kinds of support, such as provide financial support. So if I say, I don't earn too much money, so my parents still back me up. What I'm saying is that because my salary is not very high, my parents still give me some financial support, right? So they still help me pay the bills, okay? I can also use the verb back to indicate that I'm providing evidence to support a claim. So if I say, she backed up her story with new facts, what I'm saying is that she provided evidence, she provided proof to back her story, to support her story, to prove that her story is true, right? So provide evidence to support a claim. She backed up the story with new facts, all right? And also, not related to support, I can use a verb back, usually, once again, with the preposition up, to indicate that I'm making something move backwards. So if I say, you have to back up the car, what I'm saying is that you have to move your car backwards, all right? So back up the car, move the car backwards. So we have here all of these situations in which we can use the verb back, usually with the preposition up. And in many of these cases, I'm using it to indicate some kind of support, right? So moral support, financial support, evidence to support a claim, and so on. So the verb back or the phrasal verb back up is normally used in these kind of situations. All right, so let's see some more examples that use the verb back, meaning support. The team is gonna back me on this. So the team is gonna provide moral support to me, okay? My boss is always ready to back me. So my boss is always ready to provide me with support, to support me, okay? And then here in our last sentence, we have another phrasal verb that indicates the same idea of moral support, which is stand up for. As you can see here in, I always stand up for the people I believe in. So I always back the people I believe in. I always support the people I believe in. All right, so I have there stand up for. I have back with the preposition up or not. And I have the verb support. All right, so we have all of these different expressions to say that you're providing someone with support, with some kind of support. All right, well, let's move on to our next page. That's not the only news I have for you today. No secrets there. I have something else to tell you. Once again, no issues there. There's something else I need to tell you today. There's something else I need to tell you today. Once again, no secrets. There's other news I have to tell you. There's other news I have to tell you. So here we have a full page of sentences that indicate that you have something different, something new, something else to tell a person, right? Well, so we don't have any big secrets here, so let's move on to our next page. I recommended you for a raise. I recommended you for a raise. Here, attention to the spelling of the word recommend, right? Which has double M. And then we have recommended, which is the past version of recommend, with a strong ED sound in the end, right? Recommended, recommended, recommended. And then we have the word you right after it. So remember that I just told you that when we finish a word with the letter D and my next word is you, I can say this last D as j, j. So recommended you, recommended you. I recommended you for a raise. I recommended you for a raise. I recommended you for a raise. Okay? I told them you deserve a raise. I told them you deserve a raise. No secrets there. I mentioned that it should get a raise. I mentioned that it should get a raise. Attention here to the pronunciation of the word mentioned, right? So first, mention, the verb mention, mention, mention. And then the past has just a D sound. Mentioned, mentioned, mentioned. I mentioned that you, I mentioned that you, I mentioned that you should get a raise. Okay? I suggested that they increase your salary. I suggested that they increase your salary. Here we have another type of pronunciation of the simple past. We have suggested. So strong ED sound, right? Suggested, suggested. I suggested. I suggested that they. I suggested that they increase your salary. Okay, moving forward. Your work has been consistently good so far. Your work has been consistently good so far. We've already talked here about the adverbs that end in li, right? So we have many adjectives that if we add li in the end, they become adverbs. So here in our sentence, we have consistently, which comes from consistent, the adjective consistent, plus the li, so we have consistently, right? Which is my adverb. Similarly, we have the adjective glad, which together with li gives me the adverb gladly. I also have, for instance, the adjective beautiful, which together with the li in the end gives me the adverb beautifully, and so on. So there's a whole category of adverbs that are composed of an adjective plus the suffix ly, right? So consistent, consistently, glad, gladly, beautiful, beautifully, and so on. Let's just remember that we use adjectives to qualify nouns, right? And we use adverbs to qualify verbs or adjectives. All right, so in our situation here, we're actually qualifying an adjective. We're saying consistently good. Okay, so adverb plus adjective, consistently good. Okay, you have been doing excellent work so far. You've been doing excellent work so far. No secrets there. So far, your work has been impeccable. So far, your work has been impeccable. Different word we have here today, the word impeccable. Attention to the double C there, right? So impeccable, impeccable, impeccable. Your work has been impeccable. So far, your work has been impeccable, okay? You have always been a consistently good worker. You've always been a consistently good worker. Again, no big issues, so let's move forward. The regional manager is gonna retire in about 6 months. The regional manager is going to retire in about 6 months. Here, let's remember once again the pronunciation of the word retire. Retire, retire, retire. Is going to retire. The regional manager is going to retire. The regional manager is going to retire in about 6 months. All right? Our senior analyst is going to leave the company soon. Our senior analyst is going to leave the company soon. Here, let's remember once again the pronunciation of leave, right? That long E sound. So leave, leave, leave the company. It's going to leave the company. Our senior analyst is going to leave the company. Okay? The HR manager will be reassigned next week. The HR manager will be reassigned next week. No problems there. Our boss is going to retire next month. Our boss is going to retire next month. Notice here in this page that we have many different categories, many different rankings of positions in a company. We have there the regional manager. We have the senior analyst. We have the HR manager. And we have the word boss. We've been talking about the corporate environment and about the business world for many months now, but do you actually know the rankings of the positions in a company? Well, let's call our teacher Louise to talk to you a little bit about this kind of terminology.
Generally, hierarchies can vary a lot from company to company, depending on the company's identity. The larger the business, the more complex the hierarchy tends to become. However, that is not the norm nowadays. Tall structures with several levels used to be more common, but most modern companies tend to have a flat structure. At the very top, we have the shareholders. They are the people who own the business, and although they don't have direct authority, they can set the company's priorities. Then we have the three major management levels of a company, which we can call the top, middle, and lower levels. At the top, we have the chief officers. These are the people responsible for making strategic decisions, and they usually specialize in a specific field. That's where we'll find the CEO, chief executive officer, the CFO, chief financial officer, CTO, chief technology officer, and so on. At the middle level, we have supervisors and department managers who perform the role of communicating top-level decisions to lower levels. And at the lower levels, we have team leaders who work directly with general employees, creating an interface between the workforce and middle management. These structures can vary a lot, and depending on where you work, you might see more or fewer levels in the hierarchy. What is your company like? Let us know in the comments.
All right, very interesting vocabulary tip there, right? But let's move on with our sentences here. They're making a list of potential candidates for this position. They're making a list of potential candidates for this position. The word candidates can have two different pronunciations, okay? You can say candidate and you can say candidate. Candidate or candidate. Both are accepted, okay? So candidate or candidate, both are okay, right? So it doesn't matter how you say it, it's gonna be all right, okay? They have a list of prospects for that position. They have a list of prospects for the position. The word prospects in the business environment, prospect in the business world, can usually mean two different things. First is the one we have here, which is candidate, right? All right, so if I say they have a list of prospects for that position, they have a list of candidates for that position, right? But it can also refer to a potential customer or client. So if I say, I really need to focus on prospects this week, what I'm saying is that I really need to focus on potential clients, on potential customers this week. All right, so the word prospect in the business environment can either refer to a potential customer or client or to a candidate for a position, okay? HR drafted a list of the most viable candidates. HR drafted a list of the most viable candidates. Another new word here, the word viable. viable candidates, the most viable candidates, a list of the most viable candidates. HR drafted a list of the most viable candidates. Okay? We are making a list of good candidates for your position. We're making a list of good candidates for your position. It's interesting to notice here the verb that we use when we're talking about a list, of listing something. We make a list, right? So we have seen some classes ago the many, many, many uses of the verb make, right? So when we talk about a list, I also make a list, okay? So we're making a list of good candidates. All right, moving on. What should I expect from that position? What should I expect from that position? Let's take the chance here to once again emphasize the importance of closing our lips when we pronounce the letter M, as in from, okay? From. I expect from that position. I expect from that position. What should I expect from that position? So even though the word is in the middle of the sentence and I'm talking a little faster, I'm still gonna shut my lips to pronounce the letter M, right? So what should I expect from that position? From that position, what should I expect from that position? Okay, what can be expected from this job? What can be expected from this job? Here you have, once again, a good opportunity to practice the pronunciation of the letter M, right? So from this job, what can be expected from this job? What can be expected from this job? Okay. Is there anything I should be aware of in this new position? Is there anything I should be aware of in this new position? Here we have a very interesting expression, which is to be aware. To be aware means basically to know something, but in a more attentive way. So, attentive, right? So if you are aware of something, you know something, but you are paying more attention to that. And let's, as usual, try to remember the word together with the preposition. So if you are aware, you are aware of something. So I could say, I know the company's policies, or I am aware of the company's policies, right? So to be aware of something is to know something, but in a more attentive way, when you actually really pay attention to that. And the preposition we use for that is of. So to be aware of something. I am aware of the company's policies, or is there anything I should be aware of in this new position? Okay? How should I prepare for my promotion? How should I prepare for my promotion? Again, here, let's try to remember the word together with the preposition. When you prepare for something. I could say, for instance, I don't think I'm prepared for the test. Or we should prepare her for the speech, right? So prepare for something. All right, moving forward. Developing my career in this direction is exactly what I'm looking for. Developing my career in this direction is exactly what I'm looking for. No secrets there. This is the direction I wanted to follow in my career. This is the direction I wanted to follow in my career. Let's take the chance here to once again practice the pronunciation of this is, right? Which is going to be linked. So this is, this is the direction, this is the direction, this is the direction I wanted to follow in my career. Okay? I'm aiming to develop my career in this direction. I'm aiming to develop my career in this direction. We've already talked about the word aim here before, and I talked to you about the different prepositions that we use with it. We can use aim to if followed by a verb. So I'm aiming to develop, or I can use aim for if it's followed by a noun, right? So I'm aiming for that management position, okay? This is the direction I have in mind for my career. this is the direction I have in mind for my career. No secrets there, so let's move on to our last page. If I were you, I'd accept the offer right away. If I were you, I'd accept the offer right away. We've talked about this structure in our previous class, right? If I were, why am I using were? Because I'm talking about a situation that is not real, right? If I were you, but I'm not you. So when I have this kind of situation and I'm talking about something that is not real, that is far from fact, far from reality, I'm gonna use the verb were for all subjects. So if I were, if you were, if she were, if he were, and so on, right? So I'm talking once again about situations that aren't real. All right, so if I were you, okay? In your position, I'd say yes to that offer. In your position, I'd say yes to that offer. No secrets there. I would definitely take the offer if I were you. I would definitely take the offer if I were you. Here we have a very interesting substitute for the word accept. Instead of saying accept the offer, I could say take the offer, right? So it's the same thing as accept the offer and not so literal, right? So accept the offer or take the offer, they mean the same thing, okay? If I were in your shoes, I'd jump at that chance. If I were in your shoes, I'd jump at that chance. Here we have one expression that I already told you about, which is to be in someone's shoes, right? Which means to be in someone's position, right? So I could say if I were in your shoes, or if I were in your position, or simply if I were you, right? So to be in someone's shoes means to be in that person's positions. So if I said, if I were in her shoes, I wouldn't take that offer. So if I were in her shoes, if I were in her position, if I were her, I wouldn't take that offer, all right? And another very, very interesting expression that we have here is the expression to jump at something, which can mean to seize the opportunity. So I could say, for instance, when I saw her standing there, I jumped at the chance to talk to her. So when I saw her there doing nothing all by herself, I seized the opportunity. I jumped at the opportunity. I jumped at the chance to talk to her, right? So I didn't waste any time and I went for it. So this is the end of our last Business in Focus class. You still have to do your memorization hack practice. Don't forget that, right? But in our course here, we saw a lot of vocabulary. We saw a lot of different phrases, different structures, ways to use words, expressions, and so on. And we practice our pronunciation too, right? So that you can become a more fluent English speaker, right? It's been a pleasure and it's been a great honor to be here with you all these months. And I hope that you keep on fighting and keep on perfecting yourself and improving your skills. All right, so keep up with your learning process and I'll see you in the next opportunity. All right, well, see you later, private. Have a good one.